There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Welcome into another episode of Rip and Rock. Rocco's out today, so I'm joined by actually our producer, Jimmy Mathis, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about what's on the agenda for today. We are recording this episode on Sunday during the Orioles-Pirates finale, so we will give updates as that goes, but really we'll talk about what has happened so far in this Orioles-Pirates series.
Absolutely.
Explain a little bit of what's actually been going on, and maybe hopefully give some context to why you need to trust some of the veteran guys through some struggles. Next, we'll go down to the farm because no team is swinging the bat better than the AAA Norfolk Tides, and there's a lot of great prospects there, and it asks the question, when are they going to come up to Baltimore, but where do they fit in and when is really what people are asking. And then finally, we're going to preview ahead to the first divisional matchup for the season for the Orioles. They head up to Boston for a 3-game set. So that should be a lot of fun, and really, it's early in the season, but divisional games matter. So, hey, Jimmy, let's go back to the top. First off, how you doing
today? I'm doing good, Ryan. I'm excited. I've been chopping at the bit to talk to you. It seems like only yesterday we were out at Oriole Park at Camden Yards for the season opener, and they're playing good ball right now. I know there's some hesitation out there, but that's what you get from Baltimore fans. But again, like you said, we haven't had a divisional game yet. They're 5-3. They're playing above 500 ball. And I see a lot of excitement in this team right now.
Yeah. And I mean, talking about opening day. Yeah. You, me, Rocco were down there bright and early.
Yeah.
Getting some action, seeing the tarp come off. And obviously everyone got to see the excitement on opening day. It's an electric atmosphere. And the Orioles, despite, you're right, they've had some up and down moments. The bats were red hot in the first couple games against the Angels. But then it's kind of been up and down and a little bit of struggle against the Royals and obviously against the Pirates here. So, Jimmy, let's dive into it right now because we talked in the past about those series. But the series currently, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Orioles, really has actually been a good series. But I think what people keep jumping back to is that the offensive production has been inconsistent.
Right.
Now, the Orioles got a win in the opening game. Gunnar Henderson goes deep. Ryan O'Hearn and Cedric Mullins. And the Orioles are feeling good, but yesterday, in a game that turned out to be highly entertaining, went to extra innings, the O's, Jimmy, couldn't get going for a while, and that's been a theme for this team the last week, where the bats have been cold early on, and they've had to pull one out, that Orioles magic down the stretch.
Well, look, I mean, an incredibly entertaining game. Mullins with a game-saving catch in the 11th. Obviously, they fall short to the Pirates, who are playing good ball right now, mm-hmm. and they're on the road. Again, where this team is at, you're playing, again, we're a week, Ryan, into the season, so it's hard to start, signaling the fire alarm at this point, but they are playing good ball. It'll be interesting to see, like we were talking about before we went on the air, it's the divisional games that matter. We haven't seen them up against Boston or Tampa or New York yet. Those games are going to matter, but we'll jump in later in the show talking about the farm team. You have a young team right now. You have a good skipper. The pieces are in place for this team to be a contender for a while right now. And I don't mean to oversimplify this, but just playing 500 ball at this stage on the road. Look, we're 3 games into a 6-game road schedule. With all the pieces that are in place, I think there's a lot of excitement around this team right now.
Yeah, you know what? I love the fact that you said simple, Jimmy. So let's actually break that down, why we want to try to simplify it. And I'm glad, because I think we would get panicked really quickly because you expect the team, you got to go out and win every game. Right. Well, if the Orioles beat the Pirates here on Sunday, that'll be their third consecutive series win to open up the season. And if you win every series, I promise you, you're going to look up and go, man, this team won a heck of a lot of ball games, which the Orioles did last year.
Not getting swept.
Nope, not getting swept. And my motto, I tell Rock this all the time, Jimmy, is you got to either win a series or avoid getting swept. If you do both of those things, you're going to be a very damn good team. And the Orioles have been. The second thing, it's hard to win on the road. The Orioles were one of the best teams on the road last season, and they're trying to replicate that. But it's a reminder, it's so hard to do. And the Orioles are going to try to do the best they can with it. But here's the big thing. It's the struggles that people are talking about offensively. And, and quickly, everyone's going, wait a minute, is this offense okay? And, you know, watching it, and I Falter pitched yesterday for the Pirates on Saturday. And it just looked like there was not a lot of good clean hits, or even the hitters weren't seeing the ball clearly.
Right.
And I think the first hit of the game was a Jorge Mateo blooper in that there was a miscommunication. The ball drops in. And it's been some funky weather too, Jimmy.
Sure.
The rain, the snow.
Yeah, and look, here's my question to you. What classifies a winning season this year? Because welcome to Baltimore, and you have the fan base that you have, and I believe winning the division is just not enough this year. And yeah, they had a great year last year. They won the division, but then, you know, blew up in, you know, in the first series. What does it take for this to be what we would classify as a successful season for this team this year?
Yeah, I think, well, the reason why there's so much pressure on it right now is because of what happened last year, and that there was no expectations for the team to win the division last year. Now they're expected to win it, and not only win it, they're expected to go to the World Series. And before we got on, you talked about the excitement around the ball club, that we were down in spring training and we're looking at the team, and you can hear everyone around the community is exhilarated over the Baltimore Orioles, and they rightfully should. But because of that, every moment puts people on pins and needles right now. And I think that's why when we're looking at when guys are having struggles, and by the way, if you haven't hit in snow games or in when it's raining and it's 45, and there's a few things that I disliked more than playing a game when it was 45 and below, rainy, maybe windy. You know, if you don't hit it perfectly on the right part of the bat, your hands are going to be ringing with pain. And the Orioles have had a lot of those games so far, including Kansas City when they were in Baltimore. It's been in Pittsburgh, but it's early. And I think that people need to understand that early on the season, you are not trying to figure out early in the season, it's not about having it all figured out right now.
Right.
It's about getting into the rhythm, trying to hit a stride, and then hopefully, just like they did last year, is that when you get into the summer, you're in the race, and then you can start to get going. And that's what Baltimore did extremely well last year.
Well, and that's the point that I'm trying to make, is we're a week and a half into a marathon of a season. This isn't the NFL where you're playing 16 games. We have not played a divisional game yet, so it is a marathon. But to your point, Ryan, and you guys were down in Sarasota during spring training, there was – I can't remember. I'm 46 years old. I can't remember there ever being this much excitement around spring training as there was this year. The team that you guys saw down in Florida and what you're seeing on the field right now as we enter into the regular season, is it mirroring the team that you saw down in Sarasota?
Yeah, I mean, I think that everything that the Orioles, the feeling, because I try to tell people too, spring training is so much different than the season, but as far as the excitement, there's nothing that I saw down in spring or what I saw at the end of last year that's changing my thoughts of how talented this team can be for Baltimore this upcoming season or during this season. Now, they're going to have more challenges because you're no longer the hunter, you're the hunted. but also, veteran players are not always going to get off to the hot starts that you want. And you got to recognize that. Like Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins, people have talked to me a lot, Jimmy, about, well, wait a minute, are they're struggling. What's going on? I'm like, well, hey, 8 games. But they deserve the right to figure things out because Austin Hayes, all-star for the team the year before, when Cedric Mullins is healthy, he's one of the best outfielders in the game. The key
he
has
saved
been
the
health.
Game. He saved the game yesterday. He came up short at the end, but it's one of the most amazing highlight plays I've seen in a long time
in
regular season
baseball.
So
Set is a walking highlight, Jimmy. Right. When he steps on the baseball field, he's a walking highlight to make a spectacular catch, and then he can go and put together really productive at bats. And whether it's going to be a home run or an extra base hit, or like yesterday, Cedric didn't have a hit in the Saturday game, but guess what? He had two massive RBIs plus the play that you were talking about. That's why these veteran guys deserve that attention. And by the way, too, I want people to understand the Pittsburgh Pirates, very, very solid team, by the way, with a lot of young talent. And actually, in that game one, Jared Jones is the starting pitcher for the Pirates. Jimmy, I love that guy. Yeah. I watched his stuff over and over again. He has the ability. He's 22 years old. He's got wipeout stuff. And what I mean by that is he can blow pitches by hitters. He has a power fastball. He has good off-speed pitches. I believe he now has two straight games to start off his professional or his big league career. I think it's 17 strikeouts to two walks.
Yeah.
He's gone in the sixth inning fifth and sixth in both games. The sky can be the limit for him. And they also have other pitchers like Paul Skeens that's down in the minors, number one overall pick last year, Mitch Keller, who they signed to an extension. And then they have a really talented lineup. So we're not sitting here going, well, the Orioles need to go in and sweep the Pirates. No, the Pirates actually, Jimmy, have aspirations to win the NL Central this year, and they very well could.
And I think the Pirates surprise a lot of people. They're playing very good ball right now. That is more of a challenging series than I think most people were originally expecting when we saw that beginning of the season. Like we were talking about, you're going to blink your eyes. We're going to have divisional games coming up with New York, with Boston. I'm asking kind of an obvious question, but how significant are those games?
Oh, those are the most significant. And actually, we'll die. You want to know how significant, Jimmy? why don't you wait for a little bit longer in the episode? I'll give you my full answer. Because so far, if people look around, the rest of the AL East teams, at least two of them, the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees, are off to good starts. And you can never count out the other two teams. We'll jump into them down the stretch here. But let's actually pivot to why people are pressuring some of these veterans so much is because of the talent down on the farm. So let's go and take a trip down to the farm, specifically to AAA, where the Norfolk Tides have been on a bender, Jimmy. I feel bad for the Charlotte Knights pitching staff. That is the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. And for those that missed it, the Tides continue to put up runs after runs after runs. And all the top prospects, we're talking about Jackson Holliday, Heston Kjerstad, Kobe Mayo, Connor Norby, having massive, massive series. And actually, Heston Kjerstad, oh, and I forgot about Kyle Stowers, a guy that had a fantastic spring training. And you know what this is leading into, Jimmy, is because all these guys are playing well.
Right.
That is why everyone's going, well, wait a minute. These guys are big league players. They should be up in Baltimore at this point in time.
Well, I think a lot of times once you're into the regular season, people don't really pay attention to the farm team. But you look at all the pieces that are in place for this team to have longevity. You have a young team. You and I were talking before we went on the air about when do you start securing the players that are, you know, currently on the roster. And then to the point that you're making, you have a very healthy farm team on top of it. I mean, there's a lot of pieces that are clicking right now with this organization.
Yeah, and that's the thing is when you have so much talent, it's a great problem. It's a headache. I'm glad I'm not Mike Elias to say, hey, when you have to go, when am I going to put this player here or there? And I also try to tell people, even though you feel that some guys like Jackson Holliday's a stud, we know he's going to be one of the most, he has every intangible to be one of the most talented players when he gets to the big leagues. Right. He has all the tools to be that. Heston Kjerstad, I said it last year, to me was the best pure left-handed bat last year, and he came up to the Orioles. He looked good in his limited time. But then you have other talented players. But here's the thing. All these guys, you hope that all these players turn out to be fantastic players in the big leagues, but the reality, Jimmy, is not all of them are going to turn out to be all-stars in the bigs and sometimes might not turn out to be starters in the big leagues, but that's where it's their success that's driving. And you know why people are focusing so much on the AAA team is because Orioles fans haven't, I guess, and this is fair to say for whoever, however long you've been following the Orioles, back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, the Orioles were the juggernaut of a farm system.
Right.
And the old saying was, if you are good enough, you will make it to the big leagues, but it just might not be with the Baltimore Orioles. And right now we're seeing that be back in full swing because the talent is so evident down in AAA that some of these guys, Jimmy, might never make it to Baltimore, but they might be a part of another big league team.
Absolutely. And I'm gonna re-ask you a question we were talking about before we started recording. This is a young team. At what point do the Orioles need to start securing up these contracts?
Yeah, it's honestly a question that it's three things you can count on in life. It's like death, taxes, and which Oriole player should you lock up? I think that's the everyday thought now is right. What it feels like. You know, and I try to tell people, it takes two to tango, Jimmy. So if say I wanted to work with you for a long time, but you had interest, but you weren't exactly sure if you wanted to commit to working with me doing this podcast for the next 7 years, you know, you might see what your other options are, or you might just have to try to wait it out. And we're looking at some of these players, some of their agents are giving them the advice of, so guys like Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday, who are represented by Scott Boras. Scott Boras's motto usually is, hey, let's get to free agency and we can try to cash in on your earnings. But then you can look at a team like the Atlanta Braves, who've had tremendous talent come through their farm system, and the Braves, maybe they got dirt on some of the guys because they just lock up all their young players. Or you can look at it as they offered players a value and the players felt comfortable with taking that. And here's the other part. You have to ask yourself, because if a team, when you're in your early 20s, goes, we're going to pay you millions and millions of dollars to lock you up now, maybe it hurts your value in 5 years.
Right.
But that's where players also have to be. But I will say the first one, because I think that's where it's going. Personally, I think the first guy that will end up getting extended is Adley, but the guy that they need to make sure they extend is Gunnar Henderson.
Absolutely. As a player, how significant are the intangibles? This is a team, I'm just viewing this from a fan standpoint, mm-hmm. It seems to gel. It seems like it's a team that is buying into the philosophy from the skipper. How significant are those intangibles, where this is a team that you're buying in, you believe that you have a real possibility of making a run at a World Series, and this is where you want to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also something that bodes for why the Orioles are conducting themselves the way that they are, and the reason why they want to give more of their veteran guys that have been through it with them longer time. And that's also why when the Orioles signed Kyle Gibson and Adam Frazier last year, when fans are going, wait a minute, are these players really the key pieces for us to get over the top? And you go, well, they are very solid. If you're in the big leagues, by the way, Jimmy, you're a good player. Like, I don't care what people say. You can say, oh, man, that guy stinks. You know how hard it is to be in the big leagues?
Right.
But secondly, it's because of those intangibles you talked about.
Yeah.
And so Kyle Gibson and Adam Frazier brought a stability to the team. They brought production, but it wasn't the high-end production that you'd say would be from a, you know, the Orioles just got Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns, an ace, or you're having Adley Rutschman at the plate be able to do what he does, or Gunnar Henderson, but they bring a leadership, they bring a stability, they help add to the culture. And you know a name I talked to, I like to mess around on X or Twitter, whatever they call it nowadays, Jimmy. And so I told people a long time ago, I said, I have been hearing a lot of buzz about a player down in spring training. And I got people to ask me, and I didn't give the answer yet. And they're like, who is it, Ryan? Who is it? Like, oh, it's Jackson Holliday. Is it Colton Cowser's looked really good? Is it Heston Kerstad? Kobe Mayo? And then finally, some of my close friends like, Ryan, tell me. I'm like, actually, it's James McCann, the second catcher for the Baltimore Orioles, who had the walk-off hit against the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
And the reaction I got initially from my friends was, oh, like, that's not who I thought. And it was almost like a disappointment. But here's the thing. If you go and ask the Orioles guys, ask them how they feel about James McCann, they'll go, he means everything to us. He's a great leader. He helps us figure out who we are as even professionals, as players. And then actually as a player, they don't look at him as the backup catcher, Jimmy. They look at him as being another catcher that could very well start somewhere else. So I'm trying to give the perspective. You talk about intangibles.
Yeah.
There's more to the game than just the X's and O's or stats in this case for baseball. And that's something you also have to factor in, especially when young guys come up. Look at all the young guys that are now in the Orioles right now. They did struggle. And I know people are saying, let those young guys struggle. But then you got to ask yourself, are you going to be happy if they're struggling, they're getting put through all of it, and then the team is not winning games?
Right.
That's a lot of pressure on them.
And then on top of it, we have new ownership. Obviously, you're a little biased to this, but you know, but I think there's a lot of excitement from the fans with the sale of the team. It had been highly anticipated. Obviously, your father is a minority owner. Former Mayor Kurt Schmoke is a minority owner. What's your vibe in the clubhouse as far as how the team feels about that?
You know what? I think overall, and I think this kind of goes on when you talk about intangibles or why this team is so good, is that, you know, if it's something that is perceived as a good opportunity or next chapter, in this case, is the word that's being thrown around a lot for this new age of Baltimore baseball.
Yeah.
They're like, great, we're still going to go out and win. Spring training, when the news was out that Kyle Bradish was going to miss time and John Means was also not going to start the season in Baltimore, they went, okay, we'll be okay. You know, they just don't waver, and it's because of that chemistry in the clubhouse. Obviously, it adds more buzz to the team, but these guys are focused on who's with them right now and in the clubhouse, and they're just excited for whoever's going to be a part of the ride. And I'll tell you this, with the ownership, they're really excited about this chapter because they see the effort that's put in. They're going to let their baseball people, Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde, do what they need to do as far as on the baseball side. And the players, though, they're going, hey, we feel like we have the foundation, but at the end of the day, where does it first start? If you want to accomplish something, if you have a personal goal, where does it start with first? Starts with you.
Yep.
And this Orioles team has the confidence that no matter what the circumstance, they can go out there and win games. So we'll see. But those young players, man, I got to tell you, if I were one of those guys in AAA, I feel for them because they probably would be in the big league somewhere else.
Right.
They probably would. But
do we have the pieces in place to go deep into October?
Of course. I think right now, and I tell people too, I think the Orioles will be more aggressive when it comes to the trade deadline. That's so far down the line here. But at some point, everyone's going, you can't keep stockpiling talent. It goes, well, don't move off of talent until you have to, because the Orioles have great depth, Jimmy. Right, and that's a part two. We're talking about a veteran struggle or players underperform. Well, what about if guys get hurt? I'd love knocking on wood right now. I'm doing it, O's fans, Birdland. But the reality is people get hurt. It's a long season. And you need to have players that you feel like can jump in. So I feel for the guys in AAA, but I do feel like they're going to get opportunities. And say that everything goes perfect and there isn't enough space for certain guys, then the Orioles, when it comes later in the summer, they're going to probably look at every angle of how can they improve their roster and who's someone that they might give up. But for right now, they have, in my mind, everything to figure out the problem. I think that's a good thing, is the Orioles – who knows what's going to happen? You got to be playing your ball at the right time. But right now, there's no rush to move on from guys. So that's one thing I want to sit there. The Orioles are finding ways to battle early. Things are not obviously firing on all cylinders, but when you're winning games and you have a talented farm system, you don't need to go just make a move just to make it.
We're also 10 days into the season.
That's it, Jimmy? Only 10 games?
10 days in.
Oh, that's right. 10 days. Sorry. My math's a little bit off. You know, I used to be like right on the schedule when I was actually still playing, but I guess that's me getting used to the media. But you know what I have gotten used to is figuring out the opening day schedules, or at least who the Orioles are playing next, Jimmy. Yeah. So why don't we jump into our next segment?
Sounds good.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, so for this next segment, the Orioles head to Boston for that first divisional round against the Boston Red Sox in Beantown. It's going to be the opening day for the Red Sox, so it will be the Orioles. I guess it was Pittsburgh's opening day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
so the O's will have a third opening day. And by the way, we didn't even get a chance to talk about that in Baltimore on opening day. Fancy Clancy, the you guys know him, the usher serving beverages for the last 50 years, Jimmy,
50
at Camden Yards
years,
and Memorial.
He just celebrated his 50-year anniversary, and Clancy was my usher when my dad and I had season tickets at Oriole Park.
So that's incredible.
The
only
beer usher that would allow you to run a tab, by the way. I probably shouldn't say that, but he did. He would run a tab if he knew you.
Well, that's what, hey, you know what? Hey, the secret's safe with us here and whoever else listens to this pod. But he has been a staple of this Baltimore baseball franchise. Yeah. And that's actually, it's just really cool. And that's why when we bring up opening days, I wanted to just touch on that because, look, it's almost like a national holiday every time opening day happens. Yeah. But it also marks another year. And for Clancy, this is another year of him being a part of something. And people remember what he has helped bring to their ultimate enjoyment of being at the ballpark.
Well, absolutely. And speaking of the ballpark, the stadium is 28 years old, I believe, still the top-ranked stadium in MLB, and goes toe-to-toe to any ballpark in America.
Yeah, it's actually, I'm trying to think, what year did it come? We got it flipped. You got two more years. It's 32. The only reason, you know why I know this, Jimmy? It's because I was born in 93, and I was about to go, wait a minute, I just turned 30. Last year, and I'm going to be 31 this year. I was praying you were going to say this.
So how old is it?
It is 92. So if I'm doing the math, carry the 132? 92 to 2020?
That's crazy. Amazing. I mean,
but the point's valid.
Yeah.
Oriole Park's still one of the best stadiums in all baseball. You know what still is an iconic stadium is Fenway Park up in Boston. So the Orioles are heading up to play the Red Sox for a three-game set starting on Tuesday before they return on Friday to play the Brew Crew in Baltimore.
I really believe this is such a significant series. If they come up short in Boston, God forbid they get swept, I do think you're going to have fans that are kind of ringing the alarm on that behind opening day. I think that's going to be probably the most watched game of the season so far. It's the first divisional game to what you were saying, and that's really where you need the W's.
Yeah, well, and so even though divisional games have been cut down since before, it was the majority of your games was playing your divisional opponent, right? There was, I think it was 18 games each you would play your divisional opponent. They've cut it down to try to, you know, the MLB with the scheduling to play, you know, more of the rest of the league,
right,
so to speak, right?
Right.
But that's still the team that you play multiple times over and over, and those games matter significantly. And for a team like Boston, let's talk about the Red Sox here for a second, who were slated to be the worst team in the AL East, but I try to always tell people, hey, don't sleep on the Red Sox, but also don't sleep on a team early, because a team that's early in the season, they're trying to figure themselves out, one, but two, that's where a team keeps hope alive. So even if people are telling you you're not going to be good enough,
right,
if you get off to a good start, that confidence and belief stays. And for this Red Sox team, actually, Jimmy, they've pitched actually surprisingly very well to start this season. Everyone thought that would be the Achilles heel for them. But so far on their road trip, they have done a tremendous job. And that is something they're going to have to do against the Orioles.
Look, and I'm stating the obvious. It's arguably probably the toughest division in all of baseball. You got
no doubt.
Tampa, Boston, New York. We're sitting in the third spot right now, ironically, with Tampa at number four. We're in the hunt. It's an incredibly intimidating division.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gauntlet is what it is. Every single year, there's really no games off in that division. I know, actually, unfortunately, I guess might have been people could say there was days off when the Orioles were really struggling, but these guys are still professionals. And the only reason I bring that up, and it was bad for O's fans, the Rays really owned the Orioles during the tough years a few years back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The only reason why I'm bringing it up is because then last year, the tides turned when Baltimore went into Tampa and won the series down there. And then they had the big games here in Baltimore where Tampa took the first two and the Orioles won the last two to keep Tampa at bay at the end of the season and ultimately go on to win the division. It's a challenge. It's a tough environment each and every year. And also, going to Fenway is just a tough place to go play.
Sure.
Now, the Orioles, you're going to see Corbin Burns going for the third time, and Grayson Rodriguez is slated to start as well. And I'll tell you what, if you have two of those guys going in your series, you feel pretty good about winning those games. It's baseball, but the Orioles actually on this side, I think the pitching is going to continue. The starting pitching is going to continue to play well. Fenway is a hitter-friendly park, and the Red Sox, that is something that people believe they still will do is hit. But the Orioles, they've had success. They had success there last year, and especially being a left-handed hitter, you know how fun it is if you're willing to go play wall ball with the big monster over there? That's something to keep in mind, but
again, you talk about the success they had last year. It's a double-edged sword because now the new bar has been set, and we know where the expectations are now.
Yep, the expectations are high, and for the Red Sox, it is unfamiliar territory. I think, you know, it's still crazy to me, and I bring it up to some of my Red Sox fans out there. is that they had Mookie Betts, who's to my pick to win the NL MVP. They let him go. They let J.D. Martinez gets traded away. Xander Bogaerts signs with the Padres. And you're sitting here and going, man, this team really could have been extremely talented offensively, but they still do have some very solid players on their roster. Unfortunately, Trevor Story, who's been very injury-plagued for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I hated to see the other night that he came up on a ground ball, shoulder in extreme pain, and I know how much he's gone through. But guys, this is what I was talking about with this Red Sox lineup. Duran in the outfield for them, I actually played against him quite a bit, Jimmy. Tremendous athlete, has a lot of intangibles. He's off to a great start. You also have Yoshida, who's building off of his successful last year, and guys like Tyler O'Neill, you don't know exactly what you're fully going to get, but he's off to a fantastic start. And the guy that I actually love watching the most, Rafael Devers for them, obviously is a star for them. He's off to a slow start. Mm-hmm. It's a hitter named Tristan Casas. And Tristan Casas is their first baseman, tremendous pop to all parts of the field. And actually, I've done a breakdown on him on some of my own media work, and I'm really impressed by him. So don't sleep on this Red Sox team, because guys that I just mentioned, Devers has been off to a slow start, and so has Casas, but both those guys can flip the switch quickly, and they can both make a big impact. But they're going to have their hands full with Corbin Burns and Grayson.
Well, they are. Like we were talking about, you can't sleep on any divisional games.
No, not at all. And for those that are wondering, as we're recording this, the Red Sox sit at 6-2 after beating the Angels. They have one more game left today as well. And to give an update before as we wrap up here with the Orioles and the Pirates are underway, and Ryan Mountcastle has the Orioles ahead 1-0 on a double. Mountie's having a great year for the Orioles. And so that's just one thing I want people, before we get out of here, maybe it's just a little bit of a rib's tip, or it's just essentially keep the faith. Keep the faith with these guys that you have. I promise I wouldn't lie to you. Austin Hayes is not going to hit below 100 for the rest of the season. I promise you that. Cedric Mullins is going to get going, no doubt about that. And this young team is going to find ways. Consider it a great problem that the Baltimore Orioles are finding ways, despite some of their best players having struggles.
Well, they are finding ways, and we'll see how the game goes today. It's possible that they take 2 out of 3 against a very good Pittsburgh team right now. Worst case scenario, they're not getting swept. You have divisional games coming up, and then you'll be back at the yard. So it could be a lot worse than playing above 500 ball.
Yeah, you were right, though. It's just keep getting by until you feel like everything gets going. And I'll tell people this, though. If you think everything gets going, then you'll get a quick reminder this game is so damn hard. There's going to be ups and downs, but the Baltimore Orioles are a team that you should feel confident with. Trust the guys. Try to relax. But Jimmy, I think that's it for this episode. Yep. Probably won't be the last time you and I are hopping on the mic.
I'm excited to be part of this with you guys this year. We're going to have a fun year coming up.
We got a lot planned, and we got a lot more planned for the podcast itself. So stay tuned for those updates as we continue to revamp this or vamp it up. This is technically season 2 of Rip and Rock. And if you want to find the podcast, it is on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, I think anywhere you get your podcast, iHeartRadio, I think wherever
it is. All the usual suspects.
All the usual spots. We have episodes every Monday and Thursday that they will be released. So when you hear this, hopefully you're driving in and enjoying your Monday. But that does it for this episode of Rip and Rock. For Jimmy Mathis, I'm Ryan Ripken. You guys have a great day.
Go O's.